Off the Ball, GAA.
Does anyone here think Millwall are going to win the All-Ireland final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If the Barca supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official staff sponsor of the GAA.
Yes, welcome along to the Power Rankings, our second last football Power Rankings of the season. Matthew Brennan and Tommy Rooney both in studio today. How are we doing, lads?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. We actually on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, we were talking about finals and how I enjoy a final because it's the peak, it's the pinnacle of a season, but at the same time, it's the end. And it's disappointing.
Yeah.
You have to go back to normality after, and I feel the same about the Power Rankings. When it's over, what do I do?
The worst person on Off the Ball for that kind of fatalism is one Arthur James OD.
Oh, yeah.
Who I will get a text usually from after maybe like the second round of the Munster Championship saying, can you believe there's only 9 weekends to go? And then it's all over.
That's too far.
Can I just put on the record that I can't wait for the Power Rankings to be over?
Okay. A lot of stress.
It's... You think your work is done?
That was the most North Mead sound that ever came out of your mouth.
Yeah,
you think your work is done is at 8 o'clock on a Sunday when you're getting out of Croke Park and then you're like, oh no, Power Rankings.
I have to take them so seriously.
And I got to get them right, you know, because I've been on the money, apart from like one decision all year long.
Yeah.
What was that one decision?
Tyrone.
Well, yeah.
But hey, hindsight is always right, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I don't know how on the money you've been, but they've been good in general, and we haven't argued too much.
It's been a bloody crazy season.
It's been nuts.
It's been a crazy summer.
Like, how could you ever predict? I'm going to, one spoiler here before we get into them. Donegal are on page 2 of your Power Rankings.
They have been,
you know,
for 2 weeks.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, sorry, yeah. Well, anyway, this is not a spoiler.
The point still stands.
Nothing changed. But the fact that that's even the case is just bananas.
The fact that the day that happened, so many other things happened, you didn't even give me grief for it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be grief because they've done it to themselves this year. They only won one match. But that one match was against the All-Ireland champions in Killarney and hammered a shite out of them.
Yeah.
And they could have been All-Ireland champions again. So, who knows? Listen, before we get into, there's a football final to talk about. There's football semi-finals to talk about. There's a hurling final this weekend. The Power Rankings and Off the Ball are with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. And as we have been giving away all season long, the next match in Croke Park, we do have tickets to give away for the next game at Croke Park. Thanks to our friends at Harvey Norman. It just so happens that the next game at Croke Park is the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Final between Galway and Limerick this Sunday. We do have tickets to give away. So if you want them, listen to Tommy's Power Rankings and, let us know what you change. Do the same if you want for last week's show for Will's Power Rankings in the hurling. Send us a WhatsApp to 087-9180-180. Or email enter@offtheball.com with your selection. Please leave your name and obviously your email address as well, if possible, if you are entering by WhatsApp. And we will get in touch with the winner later this week. So that is exciting.
That's a big prize.
It's as big as it gets. All year, you know, we have these, like, and some of them are great. Like, we're giving away semi-final tickets and all. And some of them are like, you know, Dublin versus Loud in the first round.
It was the double header that day,
You know, and it's like, that's grand. But it's like, I knew all along, it's like, we have tickets for every Croke Park game, and that's going to get pretty big after a while. So, that's why you listen to the Power Rankings here with Off the Ball and Harvey Norman. Right, will we get into it, lads? Because I want to unusually... We will skip slide D because there's nothing obviously changed in that, but slide C has had some changes. So we'll get to that and then very briefly and then get to slide B. So if we have a quick look at C here, we'll see all's the same down to... Fermanagh in 19, a drop for Kildare out of the top 16 to 17, down. We were expecting them to go the other way. They went down two places. They're in 18. You can't argue with that. And that's because if you look at slide B, as I mentioned, Donegal are there in 9th place. You've got Monaghan in 10th, Westmead in 11th, Roscommon in 12th, Meath in 13th, Derry in 14th, Cavan in 15th. And playing All-Ireland Senior Football Championship next year is the men from the county Wicklow. Wicklow in 16 in the Power Rankings, given where they've been for all of our adult lives anyway, and all of your lives, I would say. They were pretty good in like around 1990, I remember, 91, that kind of time. But they have never been in the top half of teams in the country. The Tadhg Cup final was one of the coolest things to happen in Irish sport this year.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. And like just trying to wrap your head around it. How bad Wicklow were in the first half. Like, here's my notes, Mick. 4 points they scored in the first half. 4 points.
Yeah.
And then just this insanity took over Croke Park in the second half. This delirious giddiness. And also, like, you were a little bit like, is confuddled a word? I don't know, is it a word?
Confounded?
Like a mixture of bewildered and befuddled and
it's perfect though.
Like it was just like, what is happening to Down?
Yeah.
It was like utter systems failure. Computer says no.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the things we've said about Down in the last couple of days.
This is sum up football in 2026 though, because it's like an exaggerated form of the game where at halftime I'm like, oh, I just got back from holidays the day before. I had a lot to do this weekend.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is obviously the Saturday game and I'm obviously going to watch the semi-final at 6 o'clock. I've sort of stuff to do, but I'm kind of watching it. And it's like, oh, it's over. Left it on, but was sort of doing things on the phone, everything else. And it's like, but you're watching it in a much different way and you're like, what's happening Down? And I'm looking up going, is this... Hold on a second. This is closer than I thought. Mm. And then it's like, hold on a second now. And then
it happened very quickly.
And then that's what I'm saying. It was like three looks up to the TV.
Yeah,
told three completely
and it
different
had gone
stories.
From 12 to, to 3 points. Like,
well, it went to 12-8 in like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And like Matthew, you've been in the box on Sundays recently, and obviously on News Talk we have flash update rights.
Yeah.
So you got to time your update. You get 60 seconds a half, and Matthew would have got about 92 WhatsApps from me in about 12 seconds when Nicky Quaid took Peter Duggan out. And I was like, get here now, get here now, get here. And John Duggan got about 12 as well. And they got over just in time as Tyler Walsh was pulling the black card, or the what I thought was going to be a black card, out of his pocket and pulling Nicky Quaid over. So the same, not the same thing happened this week. Shane was in the box, but like the momentum was happening and it was a pure fluke.
Yeah,
myself and Shane were chatting and he was like, when will be a good time to come over? And I was like, the game has utterly changed. Like, the atmosphere is crazy. Get over when you're ready.
Yeah.
And they come over 10 seconds before Dean Healy takes off down the right. And he had actually just had a ball underneath us in the Hogan stand before that. I wouldn't even say he curled over a shot. He kind of just baited over the bar. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And he just kind of bludgeoned it over the bar.
Mm.
And then he receives the ball again. I know Shane McCallum told me he had an advantage, but I did not realise he had an advantage. And I'm not sure how Healy knew he had an advantage.
Yeah.
They were saying that they were roaring him from the sideline to go for a two-pointer because they had an advantage. He took on the heart of the Down defence. He got right through the Moore Mountains. And Ronan Burns, they couldn't get by him. And he tells me he closed his eyes and hit him at hope, but he didn't. He caressed it beautifully into the top corner.
It's so easy for him to just put his boot through it too.
The second he did that in the 56th minute, lads, like... Down responded with 2 points. Micheál Rooney gets one. They get another one a couple of seconds later. But then Mark Jackson steps up with a two-pointer.
Yeah.
And in our first half update, I don't know if anyone has copped it or said it to me. It's not a good sign. But Paddy Andrews said something that was pretty funny. He said, Mark Jackson's after having the worst 15 seconds in Croke Park of anyone I could remember.
Wow.
And he basically missed a 45 and got caught out for a goal a couple of seconds later. He missed it, you know. And me and James kind of looked at it at the time. We're like, that was a bit harsh. Like, but by God, did he make up for it a little later when Jackson nailed that 2-point free to bring them level again. And when he hit that free, because everyone talks about Jackson and he's a quality keeper, but there's pressure on him, you know. And it's not like he's missing from 14, 15, 20 yards. He's missing shots from 60 yards and they're missing by that much. You know, he's just off it, like, and he's so good and he's their top scorer this year, their goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But the second he nailed that free, I was like, it doesn't matter what Down do here, like. And
they played it out with a black card as well.
They played it out with a black card, a man less. Caelan Mooney had the entire goal to shoot at and Darafi somehow blocks it. They are true on goal. They have overlaps with extra men like four times in a row and they keep missing. Hit the post, they hit a wide, miss a free, or a Murdoch like strolls around a couple of players and misses it. And do you know what? Maybe it might get Down out of their slumber, but like that's me being kind because they had a cushion if they won it of having All-Ireland football guarantee, but that did them no good the last year. Like, they need to get themselves out of Division 2 and, you know, promoted last year. Maybe they'll have a winter where none of them will be able to look each other in the eye until they properly put in their work. But Wicklow, what a story.
It is.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Down are just one of those counties that you just don't know what to make of. You think they're making progress, they go back, so on.
It's a horrible place to be there, though, in between both.
Of course it is, yeah.
But you got to get yourself out of this.
100%, yeah.
There's a couple of things I just want to say about this. One is, I think this is the best thing about the Tailteann Cup.
Absolutely.
And everything it was. And it was when Westmeath won it a couple of years ago, it was a similar kind of feeling. But Westmeath, you would be more expecting of them to win something like this, but it was still great and the celebration.
But we needed it because it went after Westmead. Yeah. And Westmead haven't had a huge amount of success on the national stage. Yeah. It went Mead, it went Kildare, it went Down.
Yeah.
You know, it needed a Division Kildare, 4
yeah,
county.
Yeah, yeah.
If Wicklow, and I think it was Pat Nolan who put this out, I can't remember exactly, I think it was Pat Nolan, who would have covered great games for years. If Wicklow win the All-Ireland in 2027, they won't be able to defend it in 2028.
Yeah.
Because they're league standing. That's the way the Tailteann Cup works.
It's bizarre, yeah.
I spent a bit of time
even
with...
Even if they won Division 3, they'd be very unlikely.
I spent a bit of time with Kevin O'Brien and Kevin McKernan. Yeah. Wicklow was on the All-Star from 1990 before the game at the weekend, and it was class. And you could tell the Wicklow fans were really up there to experience it, but there was a resolve there that they had been behind in so many games this year. And Kevin O'Neill had said it, and he had coached actually eight of this team at minor level over the last couple of years. And his nephew, Kevin Quinn, scored the last point of the game, scored 4 points. It was brilliant, good, yeah. Brilliant, right. Talented full forward. And you can see it in him. You can see the kind of DNA there. And there was a quiet resolve that Wicklow were going to be able to do something special.
I'm not surprised about that, because if you look at their championship season,
it's the six of their games.
They should have beaten Dublin. That's actually a fact. And whether that was Dublin at their best or not, it wasn't, right? But they should have beaten Dublin.
Yeah.
That there's levels in the game, as they say, as who as it used to say. And, you know, Dublin are at a different level for this. So them to compete at all and should have beat them shows a really good performance. Their first game in the Tailteann Cup, they didn't show up for.
No.
I heard McConville talking about it with Tommy Nainblock the next day on their podcast, and he's just there's days when that just happens. I don't know what it was, but he didn't sound too worried about it. And then they've been brilliant in every other match, so it's not like a massive surprise. I know the league was a bit disappointing, but the other thing I just want to say about it being a story this is what the game's all about, it's sometimes it's just I love, there's reasons that you love the job and the industry that we're in and something like that, and that's sometimes it's just knowing the story. So when Dean Healy is up there with his kid getting the cup, and he's such a great talker anyway, but we had him on the show last year after the Limerick game, the semi-final, and why are you laughing at me?
No, keep going. There's just something funny happened, I'll tell you after.
Okay, sorry. So we had him on we had him on the show after they lost the semi-final to Limerick last year, and he just gave us one of the best interviews that I can remember us doing. I think we ended up putting it in our radio, for people who don't realise, we have 20 minutes that we pick out of the whole year in maybe four or five different sections. So it's it's a high bar to get into that, what we think is the best 20 minutes of our year. And I'm pretty sure some of the Dean Healy interview got in there, and he spoke brilliantly. But obviously people will know, especially if they heard that interview, that his wife Jennifer has undergone an awful lot of health issues over the years, and she's fought back to that. So when you see them with their kids, up and to have this moment in the sun 12 months later after hearing that story, I just thought that's the most beautiful GAA story you could possibly imagine.
He's been soldiering away for years.
And
it compared to Wicklow,
just the football side of it's amazing.
That's what I mean. And the personal stuff and all that as well. But they've really embraced the Tailteann Cup, Wicklow as well. They're one of the counties that really hasn't, and they've gone deep most years. And I remember last year they beat Westmeath in the quarterfinals, and they was down in Aucrum, and they, I think, were 8 points down on two different occasions that day. And it was Dean Healy after the Hooter. It was the old Hooter you get one final play and he kicked the final score.
He's been doing that for years. But do you know when you mentioned the Dublin Aucrum defeat? Mm. Right. Back, say, the 90s, right? Say it was the 90s. And I know we're not in the 90s. But say we were back in the 90s and Wicklow had gotten the better of the Dubs.
Yeah.
The story of their summer would have been a provincial title. Out of nowhere, like Leitrim in 94 or something.
But
now it's a little different. It's a Tailteann Cup. I don't think that it really, okay, maybe the Tailteann Cup is different to the Leinster title, but I don't think that matters. They were in the Boar's Head last night with Hugh Hurricane, as a group. The memories that young Wicklow people made on the hill and older Wicklow people made in Croke Park at the weekend, that you said that's the beauty of the Tailteann Cup. Yes, it is. But the Celtic Cup needed Wicklow. It needed Wicklow to win.
I know what you mean. Yeah, no, I said it was the best possible thing that could happen in the Celtic Cup, and that's why it's a great competition, is that this could happen. And I often thought about that. It was like this idea that, you know,
this summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit Walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
You don't get a chance to win the competition that you're in and so on. And so, well, you do technically get a chance and so on, but you also have a year where we get to celebrate two Leinster counties, Westmeath win Leinster title, Wicklow win the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it just gives that extra bit, but it also is like, it's a competition that Wicklow, unless a lot change with Wicklow and population change and all would suggest maybe you could, but as things stand in the, as we've been living, this is a trophy that Wicklow could win, even if it was a long shot.
Mm.
They were never going to win Sam. Mm. So why not have a competition for them? And then if you're Meath or Down or whatever, it's we've fallen this far, we have to go and win this tournament to go and get back. And it's a different thing. And it needs a bit of that too.
It does, I agree.
But it just needs the mixture.
I think
you're completely right, Jeff.
The bit I was laughing at was, and I'm glad you spoke about Dean Healy in such a way that you did and recounted the importance of that story, just a little bit of levity and a bit of inside baseball. There was a lot going on Saturday. Yeah. So, you know, I'm racing from the Cusick stand side back to the Hogan stand side in time for the Mayo Loud game. I don't think I finished my kind of... I'm watching Mayo Loud. I'm covering it with James, but I'm still double-jobbing with the Tailteann Cup stuff, trying to send it back. I'm like, this is great stuff. But I forgot to tell one of the guys working with us, you got to crop the shot.
Yeah.
You got to move it when we're in the Dean Healy one, because the shot in a landscape, we cut it for portrait. So if you look at our interview with Dean Healy, he's with his daughter Fia, but she's in the corner, so the camera goes, say hi Fia, and it turns to this empty space in the corner. I'm like, give us a wave.
And
she does on Twitter
there
and Facebook, but she does on Instagram. But one of the comments on TikTok was Fia pulling the John Cena. I just thought, I got such a laugh out of it, and it's been played back to me a few times.
That's
but
amazing.
She gives us an up Wicklow in the interview a little later, so you do see her.
The baby at one stage, Dean Healy runs up, and I have to say, it's probably my youngest is four now, so I'm probably just over this phase.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I would have had a heart attack because the way he carried out, I jumped to the ground just for the team photo and then pulled her back up again. I'm like, oh God, be careful there, Dean. But parents know what they're doing. Parents know what they're doing.
It was class.
Amazing.
It was amazing.
Story.
So they are the county story of the week, and they're possibly my favourite county story of the week.
They could be the county story of the year. In the top half, lads. And Oisín McConville as well, we should just mention
absolutely,
as well. Like, goes down there for one of those jobs that, you know, we see an awful lot and you just don't know what to make of it. And I just feel like he's given that a few years now as well. And that's been a building job. And for it to culminate,
100%.
Maybe it doesn't culminate, but, you know, for at least at this stage, for it to culminate in what they did on Saturday was amazing. Maybe there's more to talk about with Down in the off season as well, because I think given what they did against Donegal this year, for the season that they had afterwards, probably just wasn't good enough, you know. Okay, let's go to page one, please, Charlie. Because there was
Did we skip page two? We did.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
We did. Wicklow were 16 on page two.
Yeah.
So There are some changes here after our All-Ireland semi-finals. I don't know if they were as thrilling, actually, but they were. They felt so big. It almost didn't need the big comebacks and the close games and so on, but they all had their own stories. Cork remain at 8, Armagh remain at 7, Galway at 6. Louth, who were in the lofty place of 2 the last time we saw them on this list, dropped 3 places down to 5 after their performance on Saturday. Tyrone go up 1 in absentia to 4. Dublin remain at 3. Mayo go up 2 places to 2. And Kerry at 1. Where do you want to start, Tom?
I think the easy one was to put Loudon 4 and leave Tyrone in 5th. But I thought Gavin Devlin was, you know, there's a softness to the way he speaks, but there's a ferocity too. And I do think Gavin Devlin would bring Loud back. I don't think they're a flash in the pan. I think this team are young enough. And, you know, sometimes in the aftermath of these games, you know, you might hang around the tunnel underneath the Hogan stand and see, can you catch a player or two? And I actually didn't bother asking any of the Loud lads for an interview, given the nature of it, but I kind of stood and nodded and chatted to a few of them as they walked by. And there was a devastation in terms of how the game transpired, but there was a quiet resolve there as well that, you know, we're going to learn from this and we're going to be back. And this 69 years since we were last in an All-Ireland semi-final, too long. And I get the sense there's a momentum behind that group. I think the occasion is a thing, but I don't think the occasion got to them because I think they're well in that game. I think Craig Lennon gets injured 22 minutes into the game. They're right in it. They're level a couple of minutes later. Conor Grimes is having a super game. Kieran Downey has a brilliant game. But I think depth is what caught them. I think they had to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into their panel as the year went on.
Yeah.
Even in the last 2 weeks, Callanan's red card, he's suspended. Matthews gets injured during the week. There's other bits and pieces going on. Craig Lennon goes off. They're right in the game.
Even Darren McDonald only ends up playing because of Peter Lynch getting injured early on.
Lynch did the cruciate. Dermot Campbell with the full, his full back. Owen Callaghan's out for the year with a cruciate.
Yeah.
They're just digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the panel. And Mayo really, like, it's incredible. It's so impressive. And there'll be a story in it after the season of how Mayo's injury list has been so light. Darren McHale, I actually met him actually Saturday evening, had a nice chat with him. And actually Sunday morning, he won't mind me saying, I met him the next morning in the coffee shop as well. And we only had a quick word, but he's out injured, right? And he was their best forward last year. And Mayo were actually missing him. Nobody's talking about him. But he's in a really good headspace. And I told this to Jared this morning as well. Kieran O'Connor, he may not be available. He was in the panel. He may not be available. Who knows if he'll be around or if he'll come on. He's in a really good headspace. Aidan O'Shea looks to be in a really good headspace. They're not getting on. Robbie Henley has done, like Andy Moore has talked about, the work he's done with young Jack Livingston to get him ready. Mayo's group.
A lot of experience around the group as well, isn't it? Like, you know.
Exactly. But
yeah.
But Andy Moore is playing with a full deck here.
Mm.
He's not digging deep into his panel. Fellas aren't finding form. Tommy Conroy, he spoke about it in previous weeks. He felt like he overminded Tommy Conroy as a group, as a management team. They were too cautious with him and they didn't give him enough minutes early in the year, but now we're seeing him in full flight for the first time in a long time. Whereas I think Loud, I think maybe we saw the apex of that group against Monaghan with that heroic, you know, 14-man win for 64 minutes against Monaghan. And I think that is not their ceiling, but I think they were just hamstrung by the injuries they'd picked up. And I think that was the real reason. And they're dropping the 5. It's no slighting them. It was a great year. I gave them a B+.
5 is really good. Like, they're one of the stories of the year. And you think of Leinster football and where it was for so long. And you think of Westmeath, Wicklow, Louth. You think of what Meath did last year. You think of even Dublin falling and coming back. And we'll get into Dublin in a few minutes. Like, it is, there does feel like there's a real life around Leinster football that hasn't been there in a while. And Louth absolutely epitomised that. What did you make of it, Matthew? Because for me, the game is weird. It was obviously the last 20 minutes are a non-factor. They may as well not have happened.
Yeah.
But everything before that, I just felt it got away from them rather than they were terrible. And I have to say, we'll get to it in a minute, I thought Mayo were brilliant and I think that's worth discussing.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, in terms of them being written off and stuff for 2 weeks time.
Yeah, 100%. The loud thing is fascinating as well because they didn't score for ages at the start of the second half.
I think it was 56 minutes, and they had 25th or something, Downey, I think.
With the point,
and that's not normal. Like, something's gone astray there, and I think you're right. And when you're watching Gaelic football these days, you watch it from a view of, and I think we are getting there where we look at a 7 or 8 point lead and we go, okay, that's the game's not over, you know. And case in point was the game that took place before that with Wicklow and Down. But there was just something just seemed a little bit off. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. It did just seem as though Mayo flexed their muscles and Lowe just didn't really know how to deal with it. And I don't even know if he can point to the Dublin game a little bit against Kerry ever so slightly and go, right, we'll get on to that in a minute, but Dublin maybe tried going for goals a little bit too early and didn't maybe just keep the scoreboard taken over. But you know, there wasn't even a case of that with Lowe. They just didn't really even create the chances that they needed.
But you know what? I'm just showing Mick there the notes there, right? Blue is Mayo's shots, black is Lowe with the pen, the ink.
Yeah.
Like, Mayo did not give them any oxygen, yeah. Did not give them any shots. They couldn't finish out attacks. Mayo's defensive ferocity has gone under the radar. All three of their goals came from turnovers. Now, yeah. There are loud mistakes and loud kept compounding one mistake with another.
Did,
but
yeah.
Mayo took advantage. They capitalised on it. And in this new game, you got to make hay. You know, if a keeper puts a kick out of skew, if a pass goes astray, if there's a turnover, you got to be in and you got to make hay.
Yeah, but even the general kickouts, like there were turnovers, but there were also like there was... It was small enough margins. I just feel like if it was a closer game after 45 minutes,
yeah.
I feel like Loud could have risen again. I don't know, but like it was you know, perfect kickouts, but they weren't perfect. They were half a yard too high,
yeah.
And then it's an attack from Mayo. I know that sounds simplistic, but I do. I felt they were closer then. But even say that primary possession, I felt like, you know, those kickouts that like went really astray the end of the first half, starting the second half, I actually felt like they weren't a mile off. Now that's not good enough. It's the same as being a mile off, but you know what I mean? It just things could have went slightly different. Let's talk about Mayo though. You've them up to two, right? And obviously they're in an All-Ireland final. But I also think, I don't know, that was as good a performance as I can remember from Mayo. You mentioned defence, the pressure they put up top, like that front three, and Byrne didn't have his best game by any means, right? But Ryan O'Donoghue bloody did. Yeah. And Kobe, I can't believe. I think their half forward line looks great, Tommy. I have to say, I think Cone adding in with Jordan Flynn there, that's as nearly as that. Like, you got, well, in my head with Kerry, I'm thinking of the four big men. It's not the same in terms of shape, but.
That is.
The Cone, like, the Cone thing is.
I just think that those two wing forwards have just found such a. That four now are working so well together.
Like. Mick is hinting at it there. Kerry set the template, you know, for their 3-8-3.
Yeah.
But it's not really a 3-8-3. It's like a 3-3-4.
It's a four-man midfield. Four. Like, yeah.
You know, that's, I don't know if I got my maths there right.
I know, what I mean is
the four big men across the middle, as you alluded to, with Kearney and Flynn, right? Well, and they might not, like, Mayo don't have the size that other teams have, but they've been dogs on the ground. But the most important person in this, the front three have been sensational. But whoever the fourth is, and in Kerry, you've got Paddy, David Clifford, Dylan Ganey, and Sean O'Shea. You've got four. That's the template.
Yeah.
Is you're four, your creators, your scorers, that they're the ones that have the license to run the game for you. And Mayo don't just have Kobe Ryan and Dara Byrne. They've also got Paul Towie starting the last two games and actually having a huge influence. Really busy, really creative, winning loads of little breaks. Whipped at half time. Tommy Conroy comes in. O'Donoghue goes to 11. A new problem for you to solve. Next thing, there's a change in 52 minutes. Either McHale comes in or Conor Loftus comes in. Two very different players. And Keane McHale missed a sitter for Keane McHale. He's a quality young footballer. Misses a sitter for himself. But he doesn't go into himself. No. Look at the lessons. Look at the clues that Mayo were given.
The double sidestep point he scored like not long after, you know.
And thank God he scored that. Because Kobe was after making a sensational mark.
He
kicked it. And I actually roared from level 7. You better score that, Keane, because I want to watch that catchback again in that pass. Because you know what? If somebody ruins an unbelievable moment by a miss.
Lost it. Yeah,
he makes it better with that dummy. And like you mentioned, Dara Byrne not having his greatest game.
He was all right, I thought. I thought they were a bit down on the commentary, I have to say.
He was like, very good. But he had a carbon copy of the last day.
First
kid
against Cork, it took him ages to get into the game.
It took him 7 or 8 minutes. Yeah. It felt like ages, but it took him 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay.
He wins a ball down the sideline. He wins a ball down the sideline. Colin Boyle turns to Andy Moran and says, "We don't have to worry about him."
Yeah.
But it was only because he won a ball. That was all they needed to see. And this week, drops a shot short, misses a goal chance. What does he do with his next chance? He sends a dummy off his left and sends Darren Alley flying into the Cusick stand and curls over a beauty. And like these guys, and I was trying to tease this out with somebody who would know this sort of stuff. And it's a conversation we'll dig deeper into after the All-Ireland final. We were talking about DNA, and I think it's a bit more than DNA. Like Dara Byrne's father played with Mayo. You know, I think Kobe's dad played at Mayo, did he? Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a little, that one, I think,
yeah. But there's a little bit more than DNA too. And we look at like the likes of David Clifford or Dylan Gainey as well. I think there's something hardwired into the way these guys are. That they're, and maybe it's the way that they've been built and they've worked on themselves. Clifford doesn't get thrown by missing a penalty. He buries the rebound. He doesn't get thrown by getting blocked by Davy Byrne. He takes the next 2-point shot. He doesn't get thrown by getting overturned by four Dublin defenders. The ball spills back out to him. And yes, there's an element of luck for that. But you've got to fight for your form. You've got to fight for your form as a forward in Gaelic football. Yeah. David Clifford scored 1-5 at the weekend and people are saying it wasn't that good.
Yeah. He's double marked.
He's double marked. He's triple marked.
He really was double marked. Like, as you said, yeah, at times, but there was Davy Byrne, there was a shadow.
He did a great job.
That was every single... Davy Byrne, yeah.
But
those Dublin lads know how to man mark when they're being put
there's
in it.
Like, big conundrums for the defences. Can I get into... we're going to have a bit of a battle of the stats here this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I get into my stat of the week?
Okay, so here's to lay this out, right? We have a Harvey Norman stat of the week every week. We've all kind of come to the table with one. Normally, because Tommy's in studio, we kind of aren't as prepped as we normally would be in terms of knowing what we are. So we sat down and turned out we all had one. Yeah. We haven't actually told each other what they are.
This is going to be
so
interesting.
So we've got, what's a three-way duel called?
I don't know.
A triple threat.
True of
Harvey Norman's stats of the week. So
okay,
Tommy, you first.
Okay, well mine is we're going to start with my one because it's around the front three of both sides.
Yeah.
And you tell me what the most interesting stat out of this is, okay?
I've got a couple.
Harvey Norman's stats of the week.
Yeah.
Harvey Norman's stats of the week, right. So... Whose front three do you think have scored more? It's very close.
Between...
So by front three, I'm picking David Clifford, Dylan Gainey, and I'm putting Paddy Clifford in there because he's played more than Sean O'Shea. There's four, but...
Yeah.
And I haven't picked the Fort Mayo lad because they kept rotating. So it's Ryan Coby and Dara Byrne, and it's David Clifford, Paddy, and Dylan Gainey. Paddy's been on the freeze this year as well. So who instinctively do you think has scored more? In general...
Jeez, I don't know who has scored a lot, hasn't he? But I think overall, I'd imagine by what Dylan's performance against... Paddy only scores 2 or 3 points though.
Yeah,
my instinct is Kerry, but I'm doubtful.
I think David's doing a lot of heavy lifting there. I know Gainey had the Tyrone game where he scored a load. I would probably, and I think, am I right in saying Mayo may have played a game or two?
One game more.
You know what, even the heavy scoring of Gainey and Clifford in the quarterfinal is about what Ryan O'Donoghue scored on his own this weekend.
I'm going to go with Mayo.
Yeah, it's Mayo, I think.
Yeah, it is Mayo, but yeah. I was surprised by that.
Mm. Yeah, but when you actually break it down, like,
it just stuck in my
O'Donoghue's head. Just such a heavy scorer. Like.
The 19 points to Treatham got against Cork stuck in my head there, and I was kind of like that.
David Clifford's top scorer in the country. He's at 644. Ryan O'Donoghue is just behind him with 251. But like Dylan Gainey's at 22 points.
Yeah.
Number two for Mayo was Kobe McDonald with 125. Wow. Paddy Clifford's at 118. Dara Byrne is at 215. So Dara Byrne and Paddy Clifford are kind of locked level in there. Yeah. But I wondered, like, this is the kind of breakdown of it.
Unreal
so Kobe, Kerry, isn't it? Kerry's front three, if it's 784, right? 7 goals, 16 two-pointers, 52 points. Mayo's front three, the aforementioned trio, have hit 591. So it's 784 to 591. 5 goals, 16 two-pointers. They both hit 16 two-pointers each and 59 points from play. But this is the bit I wonder, who do you think has scored more in a general terms in terms of the rest of the players on the team?
Kerry.
757 for the rest of the Kerry team. 170 for the rest of the Mayo team. So Mayo are going to need more. And it's an obvious thing. But you can't just rely on your front three. And I'm not saying they do just rely on them. Like Jack Kearney's had 5 two-pointers. There's been a spread across the board.
It's not that big a difference though, actually. 757 and 170 is only 6 or 8 points, is it?
It's not a huge amount.
Yeah,
but I do think the spread, is going to be, it's going to come down. Like, it's going to be fine margins. Jared told me the odds this morning. I think the spread is 3 points in Kerry's favour. So, you know, where are those 3 points going to come from? Maybe it's Keane McHale coming out of nowhere. You know, maybe it's the Mayo defender doing what they did 10 years ago and coming up with a goal.
Or something, yeah.
You know, nearly all of Mayo's goals, only one goal outside of the front three, and that was Conor Loftus at the weekend, and he's been one of the four. You know, so look, that's where I was on it. I just thought it'd be nice to crunch the numbers and just see how close they were, and they are very close. They're both very close.
Yeah. I think this is a close match. I really do. I think.
And who's got the better matchups defensively?
The thing I have with Kerry, and it's almost outside of the technical stuff, is sort of what they did in the middle of the second half the last day, regardless of close calls of the week, which we'll get to in a second.
You mean the power punch?
Just that ability to just kind of take what you have and sort of weather it and then just come up with the scores. And do you remember when Dublin were at their best, right, and they used to play the 6 in a row team I'm talking about here, right, when they were at their best, Do you remember you'd be watching a match and it'd be 5-5 and nothing would really change and suddenly it'd be 10-5?
Yeah.
And what would happen was Dublin would just close down a few attacks, they'd score at will, this was in the 1 point for a point era, and the game was over. And you were like, how did that happen? Nothing changed. And Kerry did that on Sunday, and they always do it. They did it, do you know when they didn't do it was against Tyrone, and that was the most surprising thing. You kept thinking that
yeah.
burst was coming. They don't feel like they're dominating, but suddenly they've scored 1-6 to 1 point.
They're strangling moments.
In an era. Yeah.
Now, I do think Dublin,
phase.
The first thing Jared Brennan referenced, or he gets into the VAR calls or the video assistant referee calls.
Shooting.
First thing he referenced was shooting. Now, when you say that, and you mentioned the Dubs, right, I think back to the Tyrone-Dublin final in 2018.
Yeah.
Mm. It's one of the 5 in a row, 6 in a row that goes under the radar. Sorry for saying 5 in a row Dublin fans. It was the 6 in a row. But that was one that goes over there. Tyrone have like 4 or 5 bursts in that game where they go 5-1 up or whatever. Mm. But Dublin cut it out and they just strangled the game. And you're right, the power punch from Kerry after the Sean O'Brien goal, that by the way should not have been a goal. It was a square ball. Mm. After that.
That was clear cut.
I think everyone's
issues.
Probably unanimously yeah. agreement with that.
Yeah.
So
but I think that's the one.
It is that one, yeah.
That is the one, and that's the kind of error that's pretty egregious. You know, that's the one that needs to be caught.
Yeah.
But... you know, Kieran Downey in the Loud game before halftime, I mentioned the Loud mistakes getting compounded and Mayo making hay off them. Downey drops a 2-point effort short just before halftime. I think it would have levelled the game. Darragh Byrne scores a goal off the end of that attack. David Clifford's 2-point effort gets blocked. And actually, Mayo's break is a lot faster than Dublin's if you count back. I think there was like 6 or 7 seconds in it. The speed of Dublin's break wasn't as quick as Mayo's because Mayo moved through the foot. Okay. Mayo were a lot more forward thinking and Dublin have been trying to get out of that but Conor Cannon hits the crossbar, you know, his shot is saved by Murphy and deflects onto the crossbar. They're the swings, them's the swings in these games that make such a difference when you look at it at the end.
But actually as well, I thought Mayo displayed counter-attacking football as good as I've seen it in the new rules, like, you know, and as consistent. Like, it did feel like every turnover was a goal chance, and that's what we've been talking about in terms of the new rules. I don't think I've ever seen it as evident as it did on Saturday.
Kerry don't give up goal chances.
Well, that's fair. And a turnover with Kerry, which is harder to get anyway, it might not necessarily lead to as open a space as Mayo got. But at the same time, I think Mayo will go for it. I think they'll kick it long, and they have like one particular forward anyway who's able to pick it up and make hay. You know, and his vision, by the way... McDonald, sorry. But like his vision for... O'Donoghue's goal. Like, I mean, you could catch it in real time, but
everyone's screaming flick, but like nobody could do it.
It really annoyed me though that, like, sorry, I don't mean to be critical of TV. It's like, I can't imagine how quick and hard it is. It's not to be critical of it, it's to be disappointed in it. Is that, like, in fairness, and it was Marty and Eamon Fitzmaurice who, like, Eamon Fitzmaurice is like, they kept showing the replay starting with O'Donoghue running with the ball. And I'm like, Fitzmaurice was just like, amazing stuff of Kobe McDonald, what a flick. And I'm like, I know, show the fucking thing. And we didn't see it till half time. And I'm like, what are you doing? They showed the replay of O'Donoghue's goal about 7 times. They even went back to it later in the half and showed it. And still only started with O'Donoghue running with the ball.
They were showing it when Craig Lennon, God love him, went down and did going back through all the stuff.
They showed the flick that time, did they?
Yeah,
fuming. I was just like, because it was just a beautiful. You said that you wanted Mikhail to get that score so that you'd see Kobe's catch again.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was a moment where I went, oh, you know, like, what an amazing moment. And then it's like, do not focus on it in the analysis of the goal.
Yeah. Mm.
Although they were, in fairness, the commentators were doing their best
just
to do it.
Show it.
It's just that the director wasn't giving them what they needed. Like,
but,
you know?
By the way, we've seen some sensational chip-ups this year. Clifford did one in the Tyrone game.
Samuel Roy did one as well.
Samuel Roy's before, like, that was glorious, the left foot.
Mm.
But O'Donoghue's chip-up. Lads, I don't think we've quite realised
the pace he's moving at,
the era we're in.
Yeah.
I know we're all excited and we're in the moment, like, but some of the football we're seeing, some of the flair, like, we're not even, it's just
Tommy's overheating.
He needs a reset.
Come here, right. So going back to our Harvey Norman trulling set of the week.
Come on, give me something.
Right, okay. So go on, Matthew, you're up next.
Right. So I had a couple of... I did want to do a Wicklow one, but we've done a lot of Wicklow, so I'll leave that. I had Oisín McConville's final, record in finals.
Oh yeah, Carroll Kane did that.
Yeah, Carroll Kane had that, yeah. So before this weekend, he'd played 61 finals, had won 50, drawn 7, lost 3 and conceded 1 when he was with Dundalk IT. Obviously had added another victory to that at the weekend. So I thought that was
that's as a player and as a manager.
That's everything all in. That's his, yeah, that's inter-county club.
That's frightening.
University, college, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Like I asked him what he said at halftime. I wonder did he just get up that graphing and put it up on the board?
You know? Doesn't matter. That's
he said he didn't shout.
Yeah,
is that his version of Joe Kernan's medals?
Yeah. Maybe yeah. Ripping up the
except
stat.
For these are all what I stat. Won. It's like it means nothing.
But the one I've gone for,
he
though,
couldn't believe how bad they were.
Sorry, that's not even a stat.
Yeah, that's not my stat. I had one right. Gaelic game stats is a really good one here, right? And I think this is something that goes right back to the start when the new rules first came in, and we talked about the two pointers, and we thought no one's going to be going for goals. No one's going to be going for goals anymore, right? 2026 has set a new record mark for championship goals, the fifth new record in a row. It's the first time since 1910 to 1915 that we have had a new record in 5 consecutive years. Obviously, 1910, 1915 is 6 years, but we haven't had 5 since then. So clearly there's still merit in that.
I wonder what happened in 1910 and 1915.
Yeah. Any new rules then?
Games were 7-4 to 6-2.
We'll check in with Paul Ross. That is interesting.
It's great, yeah.
And I wonder, you know,
more space.
We'll hopefully hear from Kevin McStay soon. I spent a bit of time on him last week talking about his role as head of the expert football advisory group who are going to be keeping an eye on the rules and tweaking little bits and pieces as they go on. And I wonder in 5 years' time, will we sit down and reflect and say, do we need to move to a 4-point goal? Maybe we won't be as afraid to do it then.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not having an impact in a minute because I think the space is there. I think teams are maybe concerned. We heard Ger Brennan afterwards. We asked him, you know, why did you decide when you won the toss to play into the hill in the second half against the wind in the second half? Seems a little counterintuitive, but I thought they were going to say because we wanted to play into our people or whatever. Do you know, and let the energy of the hill help the ball get over the bar because it's definitely done it over the years. But the decision was, we heard Shawnee O'Shea was starting a couple of hours ago and we didn't want him to be as sharp in the second half shooting with the wind. We thought he might be tired.
Can I ask you something here actually as well, right? So I just pulling up there because I was looking at it last week. The 1st of February, Mayo beat Dublin in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Andy Moran was in press conference and he was talking to you about the fact that he, in his view, forward play is generally harder to coach than defensive play. That's the quote. Like, and we've seen this year Mayo have kind of had their defensive issues, didn't at the weekend, but their forward play has been pretty consistent.
They haven't for a couple of weekends.
That's the point though. So if their forward play has been so good and the defensive play is easier to coach, what do you reckon he's done over the course of the last couple of months to get that right?
I don't know. Do we have time to fully get into that? And I don't know if I have.
It's a great question though.
It's a great question. I don't know if I have even the answer for you.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah. It's their collective defence, but it's also the individuals they have in there. Like, you look at the jobs Enda Hessian did on Sam Mulroy, the amount of turnovers.
He's been phenomenal all year as well, Enda Hessian too.
The amount of turnovers Sam Callanan has mined in the last couple of games. Young Owen McGrail is 19. He got kind of picked out of the TV coverage in GAA Plus in the Mead game. He's a little bit in no man's land for 2 of the goals. But, like, by God, has that kid been absolutely sensational. Like, he did an unbelievable job in Owen McElholm. He gets injured in the quarterfinal against Cork, but he'd been brilliant. And he gets whipped off. Sorry, not whipped off. There's a different way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets taken off in advance of the All-Ireland semi-final and the game is done and dusted and he's shown on the big screen and James nudged me and he goes, he knows he's playing well.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's strolling off the field and he's 19 and he's composed and he feels alive and there's a brilliant moment of himself and Copa McDonald embracing afterwards and you're just wondering, like, what's going through these kids' heads like? They're teenagers playing their first games in Crow Park and they're in such a good place. What have the Mayo defence done? I think they've just cleaned it up a little bit. I think maybe it was a little bit further at the field. Maybe the problems were happening at source and they're stopping it out there. And if you win possession, you're halfway there. You got your stat.
Yeah. I'll just tell you something quick though.
It's a good cue though.
Finding a goalkeeper in the middle of
absolutely,
the
season,
you know, when you think about how big they are as well, like that, I think that's actually been massive as well.
I think there's a different conversation there as well. I think Livingston's shot stopping was sensational in those games and that really helped him settle. I think he is the future. I think Mayo have always said he was the future. But I do think Robbie Henley was needed this year. I think Robbie Henley in the league was a steady in hand and he had a bad couple of minutes against Roscommon and he's paid for it in a way, but that change was going to happen at some stage.
I can envisage him being a good character around the place as well. I think he would definitely be...
in college with Robbie.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah. So you'd know better than me.
I met Robbie my first week in college. Yeah. He was second or third year. Yeah. A little bit more mature than I was back then. Yeah.
But, I'd well believe that too. But
you know, he's had a really interesting career. Loads of ups and downs that you're going to get. Yeah. And also a brilliant shot stopper. Yeah. One of the early brilliant kick-out merchants as well. Yeah. So...
Okay, quickly on my one then. So I was just a bit looking with the All-Ireland final we have, right? It's the 27th final of the 21st century.
Okay.
Kerry will be playing in their 16th final of in those 27 years, which is amazing. If they win, they will have won 9 All-Irelands this century, which is the same as Dublin. Now, the other side of that, Mayo will be making their 9th All-Ireland final appearance, running joint second with Dublin. In this century, which is, I just think, such an incredible achievement that, like, will always be overlooked because they lose the finals. But for Mayo to be by far the third most successful county of the century, and that includes Tyrone winning 3 All-Irelands, or 4 All-Irelands, maybe Tyrone probably eventually, Tyrone have 5 All-Irelands and have won 4 of them, right? Okay, so maybe they're ahead of Mayo, but Mayo's certainly next, right? To be in 9 All-Ireland finals in 27 years for a county like Mayo is just absolutely unbelievable. But if you look at the wins, Kerry are 15-8, Mayo 0-8, and Dublin 9-0. It does matter what happens when you get to a final.
Oh, it does.
It is an incredible...
You keep going.
Go on, sorry. And then even if you just go down further, say something like Galway have been in 4, they've won 1.
Yeah.
Tyrone have been in 5, they've won 4. There is something about a county that gets to a final that goes and wins it. This isn't just a hype thing that Mayo have to come over, and it isn't just a irrelevant history thing to come over. You do almost need to change the DNA of a county.
I think someday
they'll win.
Someday Mayo will get over the line.
They could have won them, and I'll be as happy for them as anybody in the country, except for people from Mayo, if they do win it. But I just think that you have to...
It's going to be McElroy at the Masters times a thousand when it happens, right? And all the things you laid out there are very, very true. I spent a bit of time last week in Loud. I mentioned it earlier. Mickey Hart was there at this event, and he spoke about people sniffing at Loud's record. And he was like, 30 other counties in the country would love to be Mayo. They would love to get to where they're getting to and to be on the journeys they've been on and to be learning the lessons they're learning. And it is not to be sniffed at. Everyone else needs to get their house in order. You mentioned Kerry and Dublin's record in finals, Mick. I think this year is the 138 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final.
Mm.
Kerry have competed in 46% of them.
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
But like you talk... like
over 50% this century. But you,
like,
know, like,
you know what I mean? Like they've competed in 46% of finals. Like, and like Dublin and Kerry have won 69 All-Irelands between them out of 137. They are the traditional titans of the game. And... you know, for anyone else to win an All-Ireland, for anyone else outside of Dublin and Kerry to win an All-Ireland.
It's both of them to be beaten.
But it's an insane achievement.
Yeah.
And that is just the game we're playing. So, you know, very best of luck to Andy Moore and Mayo. Very best of luck to Kerry and Jack O'Connor. He's going for his first back-to-back title as a Kerry manager. We know how ferociously supported Kerry are as a county and how much it means to them to win and the tradition and keeping it all alive. But that Mayo story is one of the most compelling stories any of us know.
I think going for now ninth and you add to that the 3 in the 80s and 90s and you think of this as their 13th All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
15 including replays.
15 including replays. Okay, but 13 in terms of the round of the championship that they'll have played in. 15 days out.
Can I give you one final?
I think it's a worldwide story that they this is
the
beyond
Knicks.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Knicks.
This is
the
Cubs. 100%.
This is Chicago.
The Colts didn't lose like a load of NBA finals. They were in a few, all right. But I just think that it's unbelievable. And oh God, I really hope they bloody win it. I have to say, like I do.
I give you one final element. Yeah. To that, as far as Mayo,
I don't want the story to be over though.
Yeah, I know.
It's a
nice recurring theme, isn't it? I hear you.
Yeah.
Mayo have eliminated the reigning All-Ireland Senior Football Championship champions on 10 occasions. They've never gone on to win the title that year.
Yeah.
In the last...
Well, they've done it again. No, they haven't done it again this year.
Mm.
This is, they'd have to do 70... it to win it this time.
They will, if they beat Kerry, they will have done it.
75 years since...
Can we quickly talk about, because we are actually out of time here and we're getting kicked out of the studio.
How quick?
Dublin and Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it a bit in dispatches, but we haven't done our Hawkeye moment of the week. The close calls getting the whole country talking. Again, I've said this about six times, but again, never has it been truer than this week, where I think it's three decisions in particular, I suppose. The penalty decision in the first couple of minutes, I wouldn't be overly worried about that. That was, you know, the first couple of minutes of the game.
It's a soft variety, but it's like you can see why penalty.
Dublin had a 2.3, move forward a couple of minutes before for dodgy enough reasons. There's a difference between 3 and 2 points, and nobody's worrying. Nobody's looking back on that and seeing what happens.
They're going
to
happen.
It wasn't the end of the world. The ball over the line, I think it's a judgment call. If I was to ask you with a gun to my head and I had to pick, and I don't know the answer, if the whole of the ball was over the whole of the line, I would say no.
I don't know.
But, so, like, whatever, don't give the goal. It's not the end of the world. It's not a conspiracy.
I feel like there's a thread of leather.
Yeah.
That's keeping it out.
I kind of think so too. But then you have I thought there was no way it can't be a square ball was my instinct when the goal went in. Now it turned out when he did come from outside the square to score it. So my instinct would have been arseways, but it was a square ball because he had started in the square.
When Gainey pulls the trigger, and see this is the thing. We now have the 2-point arc, so the referee has to keep an eye on
the fact that they all go against Dublin is tough.
It's the accumulation. That's the point.
But it's not a 9-point swing if you know.
No, it's not.
And like,
but it's not a 9-point game though either.
But McGarry or Conn,
yeah,
they should have scored one of those goal chances.
Yeah, I hear you with that. Yeah.
2 1-on-1s.
Yeah, and if you have a goal line technology thing here, we definitely don't have time to go into all the bar talk and all of that. But if you have that there, then that's definitive, and you know what's happened there. But at the same time, McGarry hasn't hit the back of the net with the ball, so the decision has been there. Is there? There's a decision to make, and that's the number.
Great save.
It's brilliant. From both of them.
Hits Paul Murphy. Hits Mike Breen.
I think he's actually been fair to say it hits Murphy. Yeah, I think he actually says.
No, it's the same.
And then hits Breen. Then I suppose. Yeah, but I think it's the accumulation. I think, look, put it this way, I think Dublin probably have every right to feel a little bit hard done by, but at the same time, it's these things happen.
The only thing I'd say is Tyrone had right to feel aggrieved, and they were absolutely raging after the Kerry quarterfinal. Dublin have a right to feel aggrieved, and they were absolutely raging after the Kerry quarter semi-final. Jack O'Connor referenced them getting the luck, and you just wonder, like, where's the luck going to go in the All-Ireland final?
The question, I suppose, is would Kerry have had the answers?
Probably.
But we don't know.
I think it would have been a closer game. It would have been more of an event towards the end. It felt like Dublin's legs were gone a little bit. And maybe that's unfair, but that's kind of how I was seeing it.
Look, it's one of the changes.
I think Dublin again.
Dublin's performance in the first half, lads, would give me so much hope for never losing Kieran Kilkenny, and a lot of the old lads who are still the most important lads in the team are going to be a year older. But, like, one thing they did that I haven't seen a team do all year was, like, they defended the kickback. So when Kerry ran out of road and would do I'll kick it back to the edge of the arc down along the sideline and start over again, Dublin were, like, causing chaos at that. And I don't think I've seen a team do that. And, again, that's just good coaching. There's something happening there with that team that are going to get better, I think.
They got a lot right.
First year, it was a messed up year.
They let Paddy Clifford blow out the Dirty Diesel and,
yeah,
they shouldn't have done that. Like,
the mark stuff is interesting. I haven't seen that many marks called in a game.
We'll talk about that again. Kerry have been doing that for the last 2 years, and it's interesting. And if I see another bloody cornerback or wingback or midfielder taking a mark with their wrong foot underneath the Hogan stand, Kennedy or Bioglioc, someone else to the two, you can actually pass it.
Yeah. You don't have to shoot. Just because it's there for a dodgy one pointer. All right, okay. Look, we'll be back next week with the final Hurling Power Rankings after the final. Tickets for which you can win right now, with thanks to Harvey Norman. All Ireland final tickets. I don't want to undersell it because we've already mentioned it or anything like that. This is tickets for Croke Park for Limerick versus Galway on Sunday, with thanks to Harvey Norman. Tell us what you disagree with Tommy's power rankings or Will's last week in the hurling. WhatsApp us 087-9180-180. Email enter@offtheball.com, and you will be in with a chance of winning those tickets. We'll be back with more football power rankings, the final ones of the season, after the All-Ireland final in a couple of weeks.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official staff sponsor of the GAA.